podcast was recorded in January 2017, while the Children and Social Work Bill was being hotly debated. Welcome to Helpful Social Work. Social work has the power to change people's lives for the better. This podcast aims to help you learn, think, and act with integrity so people who need social work get help that will transform their lives. I'm Jo.
And I'm Jerry, and we are sitting on a really uncomfortable sofa in a travel lodge.
It is an uncomfortable sofa, isn't it?
But on the plus side, we are together. So yes. That's interesting.
It is.
And we've been going for nearly a year, so we thought it would be a good topic, a good moment to pick the topic of change and progress.
Yes.
We first of all thought we'd talk about what's happened over the last year and look to the year ahead. And then we thought actually just talking about stuff that's going on isn't very analytical or reflective or helpful. So we decided that we'd try and frame it around what progress has been made and what progress are we hoping for. Again, trying to avoid the trap of thinking that just changing things is progress, which I say as progress and you say as progress.
So, yes, I know. Well, that's an Australian English thing. I think the reason I like progress or even progress as opposed to change is that change has a lot of negative connotations nowadays. And when you try to talk to people about change, you inevitably see them get real tense and it starts to bring back memories of their own change journey, or they might be in the middle of being changed or even transformed or any one of the...
Which makes me think of the beetle. You know, the guy who gets turned into a beetle.
Oh, right. Yeah. I always think of the Transformers. My son has one that turns into a car. You know, I always hope if I'm going to be transformed, I'm going to go turn into a Ferrari. But it's rarely the thing, whereas progress is nice, isn't it?
Because and that idea for me of the difference between change and progress came from a carer, because I did a bit of work a few years back with carers around. It's a sort of an exchange, really, of experience. And the social workers were talking about the amount of change in their organisation. And one of the carers just said, I'm tired of hearing about change. I want to hear that social services is making progress. So I do much prefer the idea of progress. I'm sure that at some point that will get hijacked as just being we've done something different.
Yes.
Well, that we've actually achieved
we've actually gone somewhere, yeah. Or that we've and another way I try when I'm working with people directly, I try and encourage them to say how they've been helpful to children and families. So another thing that I really like to think about is helpfulness. You know, and that applies for you and I too. You know, how do we know these podcasts are helpful? How do we know that the work we do is helpful? Because we're trying to serve social workers so that social workers can serve children, adults and their families well.
Yeah, and I think some of the pitfalls of confusing busyness or change with progress can apply easily to our podcast. So we could say, oh, we've done 10 now. That's real progress. Or we've got better at doing them because we mess up the recording much less also, I think we have had people listen to it, and we are now in a position where we can actually move it into a different format and put it on iTunes. The other risk that you run with changing things is not just how much have we done, but also kind of, oh, it's been good for us. Yeah, I've really enjoyed doing this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I feel like I've learned a lot from it. That doesn't mean that it was helpful to anyone else.
That's absolutely right. And I guess that's one of the things. We sit here on this couch, not very often actually, but most often we're, you know, at other ends of the country, kind of talking about things that our research and our experience and our beliefs tell us matter. But we do need to start closing that loop actually, Jerry. And I wonder if progress for us over the next 12 months is finding a way to get feedback about our podcasts and to get some input from other people who would actually really like to have topics that they want explored or talked about.
But thinking about progress, one of the things that that I found really helpful as well was the idea of building into supervision the question of what have you done since last supervision that felt like progress. That was an idea that came from a supervisor, really experienced person who shared that as an idea. So I was thinking we could talk about the last year in those terms and say, okay, so over the last year, what do you think in social work has felt like progress? Start there, because I'm determined that there's going to be some positive stuff here. Jo's looking at me like, you're such an optimist.
and it's not that, guys. It's not that. I guess what I would say, though, is a lot of the progress that I have seen in children's services is really around the way that social workers, their managers and their directors have stepped up to the very challenging times that we find ourselves in and have started to have really courageous conversations about whether what we're being told is just something we should accept, how we can challenge the status quo well, really thinking about whether local authorities or trusts are the right or wrong places to run our services, you know, where we're positioned to serve children well and what that really means. So I think that there's been some difficult conversations starting. I think that social workers and managers are starting to see that if they don't want relational practice, no one else will want it. So they really need to be staking that out. But I do think it's very challenging time in children's social care.
Yeah, and if you're looking at progress, you have to think about what it would have been like if you hadn't been doing anything, because there will be other factors that impact on it, not just what you're trying to do. Absolutely. I think certainly in adult services, there's been a greater public awareness of social care and social work within that. And one of the issues that we have is people really understanding what social work is. So one of the positive things for me over the last year has been the increase in membership of BASWA and the growth in BASWA's role of a kind of advocating for social work, which has been doing for decades. Many people will know that I came to BASWA from the College of Social Work, and when that closed, which was a year and a half ago, it felt like that was a real blow to social work, but actually we've gone on to have a much better professional representation, I think, from having one body that is very well led and speaking, you know, very clearly for social work. And I think there is more awareness of the need for social work in places like mental health services, places like hospitals, in support for older people in the community.
You know, I reflect back to when I came here 15 years ago, and people didn't really want to claim social work as their role. So I think that actually things like frontline and really well-supported first-year schemes back into social work and things like that.
The AYSE scheme has been pretty good.
I think has been really positive and has really helped build us as a profession that's worth entering. I don't think we can go very far in children's without mentioning knowledge and skills framework, some of which is actually sensible and congruent, really, with what we do, how it fits into the PCF we need to think about. So there's some fit problems there. And then, of course, there's the idea of accreditation. And what I guess I would say about that is that I think that it is reasonable if social workers want to be considered to be a professional body with their own standards and all of those kinds of things which we have, to actually, once we finish qualifying, be able to demonstrate that we've got our skills, that it's ongoing. But I do think there's lots of thinking to do around exactly how that will look and who's included in that. So I'm really glad that the right at the moment the consultation's out, and so everyone gets a chance to talk about that.
Yeah, and I think the thing that I feel we need to make more progress on, but we are starting to have really much stronger conversations about, is the different responsibilities and roles that different groups, organisations have within making social work good and helpful. So government does have a role, of course it does. It's, you know, elected and representative of the public who receives social work services. Local government has a strong role as well, and is starting to, certainly in adult services, say a lot more. Children's services as well, actually, I think, about cuts and the impact of those. The regulator will have a role in public protection. At the moment, that's an arm's length regulator. I think it should remain that and not be a government kind of immediately overseen regulator. But the interface between the regulator and government is really important, because the regulator is protecting the public whom the government represents. So that needs some working out. There's also the role of the professional body, and in other professions I still see a much stronger articulation by the profession of our identity and our ethics and our what you know, we know from experience, research, and from working with people and hearing them and working alongside them, you know, what is good, what good looks like. And I think that voice is getting stronger, but it needs to be much stronger, and it needs to have a, you know, the profession has to have a much more prominent voice in debates about what social work is and what it looks like, because ultimately, you know, it's not a government job to decide what social work is. Social work is an international profession, so we need to be much clearer about what we offer and, you know, the value that we have and how we can actually improve ourselves. So I think one of the things that is positive is that there's more and more evidence about what people want from social work and what's helpful to them, and more work being done to support social workers to use that evidence. Still quite a long way to go to get a really good research and evidence kind of base for social work, but it's growing.
I think it is growing, and that's one of the things I would say that is a real positive in children's services, is that we've had some really good research come out and learning we can get out of it. And I think that there is a lot more good research around research in practice is running some really interesting change projects. You know, so there's some really good stuff out there that's happening in children's social care, and social workers want it. And they want to use it, and I see them wanting to use it in a thoughtful way. They're no longer kind of saying, give me this answer, but they're really curious about how to use that knowledge well, and I think that's a real positive too.
Yeah, and there's actually two other things that you've just made me think of that I think are we're making progress with. One is reflective supervision and reflective practice.
Absolutely.
Although it's a slog, isn't it? You know, for it not to become, oh, let's just have a bit in our agenda and supervision that is reflective supervision.
That's organisational cues and organisational structures, because of course reflection is all about uncertainty, being able to manage uncertainty well. So the fact that organisations even think they should do it must mean that they're being prepared to engage with the uncertainty of their worlds a lot more.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is really positive is the principal social worker networks. I think that, again, I mean, I'll talk more about adults. Adult principal social workers have the Care Act guidance. They have a very strong role within that statutory guidance about supporting good practice, particularly good practice around safeguarding, which is another area in adult services where social work has taken a lead on really improving our way of addressing risk and safeguarding issues with adults, about making it much more personalised and much more around people's outcomes, and much more about improving happiness rather than just protecting people. And the principal social workers have played a big role in that and in lots of other areas actually. So we had a hospital social work day in December, which was organised by the Principal Social Worker Network as a way of raising awareness and celebrating that. So I suppose the other thing to talk about is what is there, where is there still much more to do?
But it's about painting a proportional picture. The fact is that we can't ignore the context that England is in at the moment, and the fact is that the divide between the haves and have-nots is growing wider. And so that's very tricky. Our contexts lead to it being very challenging, a challenging environment for people to work in. And I think for me, the positive is that people are still coming into social work. We are getting lots of people coming into the profession, and we're getting lots more people talking about the profession, and a lot more people who are seeing that they actually have a role in protesting about inequality and discrimination and injustice, and that's something that we should be doing and we should be caring about as social workers. And I think that's tremendous.
The thing that I'm really worried about is how you maintain a way of working that is psychosocial, that is about people in context, when you're being often told that it's all down to the individual. Practice needs to improve, people need to get their act together, families need to sort themselves out, without really attending to the context. And I think we've got a difficult job to keep that in mind, and keep working with that when actually we're not encouraged necessarily to do that.
Yeah, there's lots of nudges and cues for us to behave in a functionally stupid way and to follow process to churn through the motions. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But there's also a high proportion of people talking about why that's not okay.
Yeah.
And there's more and more recognition about the value of relationship. Mm-hmm. And not just in, because that's the other thing, is we can get lost in social work, can't we? But there's really helpful things like the Harvard study on happiness, which has come out. Now that study is over 70 years, following people over 70 years. And what they're saying is relationship is the most significant contributor to happiness. And actually that is something very, very useful for social work to think about, because we know that we make opportunities for people to be different through the relationships and through the work we do in a relational way with them. And so there are lots of good reasons for us to ignore the nudges.
Yeah. I mean, one of the big nudges, which we do need to talk about probably before we kind of wrap up with, you know, a bit of an idea of where we might go next, is the Children and Social Work Bill. Mm. Yeah, I know. But it would be
I've been trying in this podcast to do the right thing and to not just be doom and gloom and gloom and doom and doom and gloom. We just, all the developments in children's services, I think, have to be approached in a thoughtful and proportional way, because many of them are not supported well enough by the evidence that we have gathered over years about what makes meaningful difference to children and families. And I just think that we just have to keep talking about it. I'm not cavilling with the desires or the intentions behind some of the things that are happening, but I am suggesting that there's no one mantra and we just need to step back a bit and be incredibly thoughtful and careful about what we let through. And I'm really pleased to see lots and lots of different people discussing the bill, putting their views forward.
I think you're right, the engagement of people who are directly affected by social work, by children and their representatives, by families and their representatives, and by social workers themselves as well, is really positive. I really would hope that over the next year, if they're kind of looking ahead, that those voices get increasingly heard and acknowledged. Yep. And the best way that I see for that to happen is for those groups, people who use social work and social workers, to join up and be much clearer together.
Yes.
But also to enlist much greater understanding from the public about, you know, why people deserve a good life and why social work can help them to achieve that and why it's better for us as a society to have those things in place, to have some safeguards, to have some opportunities to keep those alive and not to narrow them down in any way.
It's not helpful to hunt the person in any context. Mm-hmm. So it's not helpful to stigmatise families or religions or genders or belief systems. It's not helpful to stigmatise a profession or a group of professionals or people. It's not helpful to stigmatise a group of managers or leaders. It's much more helpful for us to go, this is a conundrum and it's not one that's going to be easily solved and there actually won't be any right answer. What are we trying to do? Well, actually, we're trying to find a way where people can live lives of dignity and hope. That's what we're trying to do. I don't think it's unreasonable for people to want to live in a place and a space where they actually feel that they have value and that they're valuable. And somehow we're trying to work towards helping society provide that. And I don't think that'll ever be a one-size-fits-all.
No, and I think we do need to keep working at it together and not fall out and not break up with each other, and particularly not bits of social work break up with each other.
Yeah.
Actually, every time that I think, you know, what are we even trying to do and what are we even able to do in this context, I do come across someone who's doing something great. You know, I'll come across someone who's just done a really good piece of work with the family, or has just made a really positive difference in their team, or has just created a really important piece of information that's going to help us understand things better. So I think if we keep hanging on to identity as people who are interested in people within their environment and attend to both of those. And if we try and look after each other and look after our environment, then we can continue to make some good progress.
Even though the other day I said to you, well, why don't we just automate social work? When I actually followed that right the way through, the fact is we can't.
Yeah.
And isn't it lovely to be part of a profession that actually wants to contribute to social cohesion and harmony and well-being?
Yeah.
I think that's a fine ambition for a human, for any human.
Yeah.
So a couple of things to leave you to reflect with, really. I suppose the big questions from what we've been talking about are the same ones that we've been discussing, which are, you know, what's happened with you over the last year that you felt has been progress? What have you been doing that's felt like progress? And what do you want to attend to over the next year to try to help social work make progress in terms of bringing people better lives, working with people to achieve better lives? And hopefully we'll be able to contribute something to that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to comment on the Children and Families Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely take my time to write something that's worthwhile, and look for more of those opportunities to learn about, think about, and challenge agendas when I should and when I can.
Yeah, and we'll try and find a way to help find out from people what they think would be useful from us for these podcasts as well.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? It would be really good if some people could just say, hey, Jo and Jerry, why don't you go away and research about this and talk about that?
Yeah. Thanks, Jo.
Cheers, Jerry.